Okay, so my presentation is Friends, Parents, and Professionals, a qualitative study of who African-American teens go to for help when experiencing dating violence. I'm Allison Switlow. Dr. Aubrey Madcor was the principal investigator on this study. Allie Talon, David Seal, Carl Kendall, Kendra Lassar, and Marsha Broussard also worked on this study. I have no disclosures to report. So, piggybacking off of what Timothy said, I want to first start out with a definition of dating violence. The CDC defines it as the physical, sexual, or psychological emotional violence within a dating relationship, as well as stalking. It can occur in person or electronically and may occur between a current or former dating partner. And again, some numbers for teen dating violence. It's a prevalent problem. According to the 2013 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, there was 13% physical victimization among female high school students nationally, and then 7.4% physical victimization among male high school students nationally. And this is just physical victimization. Other surveys that account for emotional or psychological victimization, the prevalence rates are actually much greater, around 30%. So rates of teen dating violence in urban areas tend to be higher than national average. For example, here in New Orleans, the last Youth Risk Behavior Survey was in 2007, and they reported a 22% prevalence among youth in New Orleans. African-American youth may experience higher prevalence of teen dating violence, but this is not consistent. Some studies find that when you account for socioeconomic status, racial disparities in prevalence rates disappear. There are many negative health and social consequences of teen dating violence, including but not limited to injury, depression, negative reproductive health outcomes, and continued intimate partner violence into later relationships. So although African-American youth may experience increased risk for dating violence, little is known about these youth opinions of sources of help. Most screening and intervention tools for intimate partner violence have been developed with adult women. Most youth do not disclose abuse and are more likely to turn to informal sources for support. And also, little is known about what youth may look for in seeking help for dating violence and at what point they seek external help. So there's a great need for dating violence prevention programming in New Orleans due to the high prevalence rate that I talked about before, but also a better understanding of natural sources of help for dating violence victims and why teens do or do not access them is needed to inform future programs. And also, we hope that information gleaned from youth in New Orleans may also be relevant to youth in other urban areas, though that may or may not be the case. So I want to talk about a little bit about the larger study design. We had 38 African-American adolescents recruited, ages 13 to 18, recruited from two different high schools in New Orleans. We ended up with 18 males and 20 females. Most of our participants were 17 or 18 years old, although two were younger than 17. A research assistant recruited students during lunch, and then we also had help from a school nurse who referred students to the study. If the participant was 18 years old, they provided their own written informed consent. If they were younger than 18, we got parental permission and student assent. We conducted one-hour in-depth semi-structured interviews in a private room at the school, which included questions on existing sources of help, which I am reporting on today. And then the interviews were digitally recorded, and the interviewer took field notes. And we debriefed all the participants by providing them a list of dating violence resources in New Orleans. Data were analyzed using thematic content analysis. Coding guides were developed both using a priori codes as well as codes that emerged from the interviews. Each interview was independently coded by myself and another research assistant into InVivo, and then coding disagreements were discussed until consensus was reached. So the results. So we first asked participants a broad question about who teens would go to for help if they were experiencing dating violence. And we had 9 participants, about 24%, admit to us that teens would not seek help from anyone when experiencing dating violence. And we saw 2 main themes in the reason why this occurs. The first one was the idea that teens can handle it on their own, everyone should mind their own business. And this idea of privacy comes up a lot in different ways in talking about sources of help with these teens. We also had 8 participants mention unwanted responses from family or friends as a reason why teens might not seek help. Unwanted responses from family or parents was usually about overreaction. They didn't want their parents or family to retaliate or to seek retribution or even stop them from seeing their girlfriend or boyfriend, while unwanted responses from friends was more about judgment. For example, a girl said that she might not disclose to her friends about dating violence because they might make her feel stupid for letting something like this happen. And then these quotes, I think, emphasize the feelings of privacy and embarrassment about these personal relationships and feeling like there's no one that can help in such a situation. The first one says, "I don't think they would go to anyone for help. Who would they go to? That's the question. They may not have a support system at all, but if they were to go for help, I think a mother or a friend, but they probably won't do much." And then the second example, "I don't know if they go to anyone. Hopefully they do, but if they did, I guess they would go to a counselor, talk to a counselor about the situation, and 9 times out of 10, they would have to report it if it's physical or mental. A lot of times girls won't want that. Anyone, guys or girls, don't want their relationships to be reported. Who wants their girlfriend or boyfriend to be reported if they hit them? So they probably will keep it a secret." So the source that most teens brought up was friends, and you could see from these quotes that teens really felt strongly about friends as their primary source of help. This first example says their friends. Their friends are the first person they tell before they tell their mom, dad, auntie, whoever. They tell their friends first. And then the second one says friends. "I don't think they would feel comfortable enough, or they won't feel right telling their parents or basically any adult because they don't want to be looked down upon." So we asked them in what ways friends do help, and one person did say that they confront the abuser. Two people said that even though they're the primary source of help, they don't help at all. But most participants mentioned friends help by being friends. They give advice, they provide comfort. And then 5 people did say that they help by actually going to tell someone. So in these ways, we asked them how effective friends help can be with dating violence. And from this pie chart, you can see that over half of the teens, the blue, said that friends help can be effective, but also a large portion, over 4, said that friends help was ineffective. And then a small number said that it depended on the situation. So the next source that teens mentioned was family. 16 participants mentioned family as a source of help when experiencing dating violence. And I want to go ahead and point out that this pie chart, you can see from the pie chart that less people said that family as a source of help was ineffective than friends. So the little green sliver is a lot smaller. And in the ways in which family was more effective, including involving the criminal justice system, teens mentioned things like going to the police or getting a restraining order. And then 8 participants mentioned giving advice. And then 7 participants mentioned retaliation. And then this quote, I think, emphasizes the idea that teens thought that family, if you go to your family, they're really going to act or do something. This quote says, "Because if you're explaining to your family that this is happening, your family might be like, no, we ain't having that. They'll take it in their own hands instead of letting you deal with it, instead of letting you go about it in the way you see it. Instead of giving their advice, they want to act." So the next source that teens mentioned was teachers, counselors, and other adults. We grouped them into one. 10 participants mentioned this source of help, and we didn't get many responses on effectiveness of this source, but some participants did mention that teachers, counselors, or other adults would give advice or tell somebody. And this is an example of a positive response for this source. It says, "I would always go to my teachers for help." So teachers, definitely school counselors. And then this last quote, I wanted to point out that some participants feel like there is a broad network of help for teens that are experiencing dating violence. It says, "I mean, you have your parents, your grandparents. If you're at school, you have your teachers or counselors, all the faculty and stuff. Like here, we are a family. So I'm more than sure if it was ever to happen, they will tell somebody, whether it was a student, a parent, or a faculty staff member." So the next series of questions we asked about the school-based health center, and this is the question that we prompted them with. So I know that you have a school-based health center here, and I was wondering what your thoughts were, let's say, if a teen went to the school-based health center and they were not feeling well, and then a doctor, a nurse, or social worker asked them if they were experiencing dating violence. Do you think the teens would answer truthfully? We had 17 participants that said no, they would not disclose dating violence. And then 11 participants said that it depended on the situation and the student. And then 8 participants said that they would disclose. And this is an example of responses that we got. No, they wouldn't want, either they wouldn't want the person to get in trouble, or they wouldn't want their peers to get involved or know what's going on. And then this next quote says, yeah, as long as it's anonymous. So even though this is an example of a positive response that they would disclose, the idea of privacy is really still important to the participant. We asked them responses that they would like to hear from the staff at the school-based health center about dating violence. Again, people mentioned confidentiality. 10 people mentioned providing them with resources. 20 participants mentioned just sitting and talking kindly with them about the situation. And then 2 were unsure about what responses they would like to hear. And this quote says, talking about experiences and helping, but not taking such action that it is going to go, the person is going to feel like you're messing everything up. They're going to tell their friends, and if that's happening to their friends, they're not going to tell nobody. They're just going to get abused. That's why most people keep stuff in. These teachers and counselors know too much, so it'd be really important to reassure the teenager that they are not going to tell everyone else, and it's just going to stay with them. And then the last question we asked them was about the school-based health center was what the staff can do to be more helpful with dating violence. And 11 participants were unsure, 10 mentioned to be more relatable, again, ensuring confidentiality was a big one, and then a few teens mentioned having a class for discussion about teen dating violence, staff that they can trust supporting them, and then telling them about a dating violence program. And then the last quote is, I would want to hear if it was me and I was getting abused. Maybe they would say, I can help you with this, maybe some therapy, someone to talk to, and see how you feel to check to see if anything's wrong. It depends on if it's something that is kind of a small level, it's confidential, but if it's a high level, then we can, that happens over and over, you can talk. So in summary, teens' most likely source of help is friends and or family, these informal sources of help. Victims are unlikely to seek out help from sources that may get others involved, like the police or social services, but they view sources that they do not get outside people involved as less effective. There is some reticence with going to the school or the school-based health center, and this has to do with confidentiality concerns, people spreading their business to others in the school, and then this strong desire to keep outside authorities uninvolved. I did want to acknowledge some limitations. Our interviewer was not African-American, so if there were any racial issues related to teen dating violence, the participants might have been hesitant to talk about these. Our interviewees were largely reported to have no direct experience of dating violence. However, this may be because at the beginning of the interview, the interviewer had to tell them that she was a mandated reporter, and she would have to report it if they disclosed that they were in any kind of danger. And then, again, this is a convenient sample of willing participants in two different schools, so possibly our findings are not generalizable. I wanted to acknowledge the funding was provided by the Committee on Research at Tulane. The School Health Connection Project at LPHI was instrumental in helping us gain access to the two high schools. Special thanks to Dr. Marsha Broussard, Ms. Tasleen Van Hatten, and Ms. Kendra Lassar. And we also wish to thank the school administrators, staff, and the students themselves, especially for sharing their time and experience.